My prayer is the same, that the Spirit of our God will overrule this weak voice. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, verse 16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." I couldn't help but think about the fact this past week that there will come a point when I preach my last message. I won't know it in that moment, but it'll soon be realized by everybody that that was my last message. And it really hits home to me that this message and my last message and every message in between must be the gospel. It must be the gospel. Verse 16 says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And I'll tell you this, woe is unto you if I preach not the gospel. And woe is unto all of us if we hear not the gospel and believe not the gospel. Paul said in the last verse of this chapter, verse 27, he said, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That's the woe is unto me that he's talking about. If any preacher does not preach the gospel, that preacher is going to be a castaway. People naturally think that just because a man is a preacher, he's a shoo-in to heaven. That is not so. As a matter of fact, it's the most dangerous profession a man could be in. It's the most dangerous profession a man could be in. There are going to be more preachers cast into hell than any other profession on this earth. That's so. There are going to be more of all the professions. You have appraisers. You have people in the medical field. You've got computer programmers. You have accountants. You got carpenters. Okay? Of all the professions that are on this earth, there are going to be more preachers cast into hell than any other profession. And I tell you why we know that to be so. It's because almost every preacher out there preaches a different gospel. Do we realize that? Do we honestly realize that? Everybody out there is preaching something different. Does that really register with us? Everybody's preaching something different. One says the gospel is this. Another says the gospel is that. With man, there are hundreds, even thousands of different gospels out there, but not with God. With God, there's only one. With God, there's only one. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, he said, which is not another. There is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. He said, if one of us apostles or even an angel from heaven came down here and preached something different to you than what has been given in the pages of this book, let him be cursed. Cursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There is only one gospel, and that's why it is called the gospel and not a gospel. And what I'd like to do is, from the word this morning, I would like for us to see what the one true gospel actually is. Not what people have imagined it to be in their minds, but what God says it actually is. And my prayer is that God will reveal to us what it actually is. I pray God will open our eyes today. I do. I pray He'll open our eyes today. I pray this will not just come in word only. I pray the power of the Spirit of God will open our hearts and will reveal this to us today. Right here in Galatians 1 verse 11, Paul said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He revealed it to me. Verse 15, he said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. When it pleased God, he revealed Christ in me when he revealed the gospel to me. Lord, if you would be willing, reveal this to us. Please reveal this to us. Now, what is the gospel? That's the title of this message. What is the gospel? I Googled it. And I don't recommend anybody Google it. But I did. I Googled it. I typed it in. What is the gospel? Question mark. Some said the gospel was God's plan for your salvation. Some said the gospel was God's offer of salvation if you chose to accept it. Some said the gospel was the instruction on how to live a better life, a more holy, acceptable life before God. None of those things are true. What is the gospel? We're going to answer that by the truth of God Almighty's own word. Whatever this says right here, let God be true and every man a liar. If this contradicts me, I'm a liar. And I deserve whatever judgment he sends to me. This is the gospel. This right here is the gospel. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means the gospel is concerning Jesus Christ. My father has said for many years that that is the statement that was made from a pulpit that reached his heart. And I pray it'll reach somebody else's heart. Whenever my father was a false religion, false preacher, false everything. But when it pleased God, he revealed this to him. He heard a man speak and he revealed this to him. The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ. He said, as soon as he heard that man say that, he thought, that's it. The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. Lord, reveal this to us. The gospel starts with Jesus Christ, and the gospel ends with Jesus Christ, and we do not have an active role in it at all. We do not have an active role in it at all. We are just guilty bystanders. That's it. What do you mean we don't have any active role in it at all? Here's what I mean by it. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know what dead means? It means no active role. That's what it means. Dead. Turn with me to Romans 1. Romans 1. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel is of God. The gospel is from God. It is God's declaration. The gospel is God's declaration. Concerning what? Verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see that verse 2 is in parentheses. That was inserted into the middle of a complete thought. The end of verse 1 says, separated unto the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It's the declaration of how God was manifest in the flesh. I just wish men and women could get a hold of that. Just that. God was manifest in the flesh to accomplish a work that was in his hands, given to him by his Father. Wait a minute, you said God was manifest in the flesh. That's right. The Father of God placed a work in the hands of the Son of God. That work was the eternal salvation of his people. And Christ was so victorious in accomplishing that work. God the Father raised him from the dead with power and honor and glory. Don't you love thinking about heaven rejoicing? Can you imagine when our Lord bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and all of heaven, the angels and the seraphims and all of these things that desire to look into what our Lord was given to do. You know, they cry, the cherubims cry, holy, 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 never ending. And then as soon as there was silence in heaven. Oh, can you imagine? And then can you just hear the eruption the moment he walked out of that grave? Oh, he came out with power and honor and glory. That's the gospel. That's the declaration of Christ and the work that he successfully accomplished. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. To put it plainly, the gospel is concerning the cross of Jesus Christ. Who it was that hung on that cross, why he hung on that cross, what he accomplished in hanging on that cross. Everybody knows, and I will tell you, when I Googled it, everybody said the gospel, you know, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everybody said that, and then they added their 2 cents at the end of it. Everybody knows that he died. Everybody knows that he was buried. Everybody knows that he rose again. But in not declaring the truth of who, what, and why, men and women are denying the gospel of the cross, the good news of the cross. What is the truth of the cross? Here it is. It was God Almighty who hung on that cross. It was God Almighty who hung on that cross. It was not God's Son. I know it's shocking even for us to hear that. I understand that. Every time I say that, I shock myself. It was not God's Son who hung on that cross. Any person who believes that is wrong and living in error and looking to the wrong God. It was not God's Son who hung on that cross. It was the Son of God. And what that means is God Almighty in a body. When it says he is the only begotten of the Father, that means he is the only made image of God. The only thing you can look at to know what God looks like. The only begotten doesn't mean that the Son came from the Father. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Everything was made by him. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. God Almighty hung on that cross. And he hung there willingly. He hung there so willingly. Oh, if I would have been alive back then, I would have stopped it. Because he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go there. Oh, yes, he did. For this cause came I into the world. I love it when it says he set his face like a flint. That means he could not be talked out of it. Peter tried. Get behind me. I'm on a mission. That mission is your gospel. No man took his life from him. He gave his own life willingly to be the sacrifice that was required for the sin of his people. Here is the truth of the cross. God Almighty was not trying to save anybody on that cross. Who was God trying to save on the cross?
Nobody.
He wasn't trying to save anybody.
He saved.
God Almighty did not die to make salvation possible. That's what I read on the internet. Bless the internet's heart. The internet is wrong. God Almighty did not die to make salvation possible for anybody. He didn't die to make salvation possible for one soul. He died to make salvation permanent for a particular people. God Almighty did not die for every soul on this earth. If he had died for every soul on this earth, he'd be a failure because not every soul is saved. But he didn't die for every soul on this earth. He died for his own. He came, he lived, and he died for his own. That's the truth of the cross. His blood was not a general payment for man and men and women to just take it or leave it if they want to. You know, well, he shed his blood to put away sins. That wasn't a general payment just laid out there for anybody to take and leave as they please. It was applied. That blood was applied on purpose. His death was not in vain for a soul that he wanted to save, but the soul wouldn't comply with him and ended up being lost anyway. Absolutely not. Here's the truth of the cross. God Almighty shed his blood and he died to redeem the souls of every one of his specific people. And when he cried, "It is finished," they were saved. Not one of his wretched sinners wanted it. I'm not looking at one soul in here who in his or her flesh wanted it or would have been willing to accept it. But thank God, we didn't have a choice in the matter. You want to know the truth of the cross? We didn't have a choice in the matter. It was irresistible. God's grace just plowed over every single one of his people. Conquered every single one of them. The gospel is the declaration of God concerning Jesus Christ and what he victoriously and freely accomplished for his people. Acts 20 calls it the gospel of the grace of God. That means the gift. The free gift. The free gift. The gospel is not an offer. It is not an offer. It's the declaration of a free gift. It's not a plan for what could be. It's the announcement of what already is. Already is finished and freely given. And here's the question that I always want to know. How do we know this is so? I just said, and it's so true. Everybody else is saying everything under the sun that's contrary to what I'm saying right now. How do you know? I've had people literally ask me that question. When everybody's saying something different, how do you know? How do we know that this is the announcement of truth? This is what God recorded in his word. We're reading it right out of God's own word. This is from the mouth of God Almighty. That's why we can know that we can bank our souls on this. We read it in God's word. If God said it, amen. If God said it, amen, we can bank our souls on it. Go with me to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" And that's what breaks my heart for people. It breaks my heart so badly. They have not heard. They're being lied to. Men are standing in pulpits and they're like, "Oh, we go to this church and oh, I love my preacher. Oh yeah, right out of the word." Really? Is it really? But he says it is. He doesn't show me, but he says it is. Men and women have not heard the truth of the true and living God. Verse 14 says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent of God? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The gospel of peace. The gospel is an announcement of peace. The gospel cries, "The work is finished. Rest." You know how you know you're not hearing the gospel? A man's up in a pulpit saying, "Now the work ain't finished now. You better get to work now." That's not the gospel. The gospel is an announcement of peace. The gospel is not a call to action. The gospel is not a call for a decision. All right, now we're going to end this service by looking for decisions. Anybody going to make a decision? The gospel is not a call for a decision. The gospel is not a prod to the obedience of the law. It's an announcement of peace. Peace by one man. Peace by the accomplishment of one man, Jesus Christ. Christ took the action. Christ made the decision. Christ obeyed the law. And in Him doing that for us, He made peace. Peace with God through Him. That's the gospel. And every soul that Christ accomplished the gospel for, He will give that soul faith to believe it. The Spirit of God will reveal the truth of the gospel in the Word. And a sinner will say, I see that. I see what you're saying. It's right there. I believe it. Faith sees Christ in the Word. Faith looks to Him alone. The gospel does not point us to us. The gospel points us to Christ. I told you a while back, it was years ago now, a man who was emailing me back and forth, he just reprimanded me. He reprimanded a few other grace preachers. And the reason is because he said, I did not end my message with turning everything to you. And his wording to me was, surely you're not going to tell them what Christ did and just leave it at that. My reply was, amen. That's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. The gospel does not point us to us. The gospel points us to Christ. The gospel does not tell us to take a good look at us. The gospel tells us to take a good look at Christ. And when we do, when we truly see Christ, we see the gospel of our salvation. When we see Jesus Christ, we see salvation. Salvation. The gospel is all about Him. Christ is the gospel. I pray the Lord will reveal that.